Okay, we're picking up four lines from the top of Samech Hei Mud Aleph. Our learning is once again sponsored Le'iloi Nishmas Shulamis Bas Yaakov. The Neshama should have an Aliyah. It's very exciting. Finishing Maseches Nazir, perfect timing for the Siyum of Tanis Bechoyrim that everyone's going to be hearing. At least the Bechoyrim are going to be makbet to hear. Mir Tashem next week. I have a feeling that 90% of the Siyumim are going to be done with Masech the Nazir, Baruch Hashem. So one of the Ashkachas of the Daf. So let's continue now. Says the Gemara, analyzing the Lashon of the Mishnah, Amar of Yehuda, Matzah Prat L'Matzoy. That someone who found, that is the Mashmos, implies that excludes a grave that was known. The Mishnah is telling us that that you're allowed to move less than three graves, because three bodies in these areas are assumed to have been buried only temporarily. But when it's known that it was buried there, even if it was one person for a permanent burial, then you're not allowed to move the person. Mace prat laharug. And also from the Lashon of mace, we can medayek that it's coming to exclude someone who died, who was killed. Someone who was killed, he loses his blood, and therefore he's incomplete, and therefore that is not considered an area of a marked grave, and by halacha, the halacha of tfusoso does not apply to it. That's what is excluded from mis. Mushkav prat liyoshev, and similar with regards to lying down, excludes a sitting dead body. Kedarko prat larosha munach ben yarchosav, and what does it mean, kedarko? That's excluded in the case that if he was buried with his head placed between his thighs, that would be something which the goyim did, not the way the yidden did it, in which case you would not be chayav to keep him there. So the Gemara says, Tane ule bar chanina, mace, shechaser elo tfosa v'loshchunas kvaro. So when it comes to a mace, which is incomplete, a not complete body, so then you don't have the lacha of tfusaso or an area of shchunas kvaro, making it a burial site which you cannot move. So what's the reason behind it? What's the reason that if you have a dead body in a sitting position, right, and one between his thighs, what's the reason between those reasons, what are these halachas, that you would not be allowed, that you does not have the halacha of tfusaso and halacha of basic faros? Because we can assume that since they weren't done according to the Yiddish custom, Yiddish and Minhag, so then we assume that maybe it's really goyim that are there, and therefore you're allowed to move a goy, even if he lechatchila was buried there as a permanent grave. You're allowed to move him. So therefore, there's no shailas, and therefore, since it's a chashash, you're allowed to assume that it was a goy. Matzah shnayim, but if you found two graves, rosh shozeh b'tzad margolos shozeh, the head of this dead body was at the side of the other one, v'rosh shozeh b'tzad margolos shozeh, and you found two basically parallel graves in which they were buried in opposite, coming from one end to the other in opposite directions, and therefore, so then, in this halacha, the Gemara says, "Ein lem tfusa." The halacha is that they do not have the ground below them. Lo shchunas kvaros, and they don't have the halacha of a grave site either. If you found three of them, meaning three, the Mefarish explains, right? You found three of them, and two of them were in opposite directions. That do not create a base akvaros, of which you're not allowed to take the tfusaso, etc., and move it. Matzah shlosha, but if you found three, ha'echad yadu ashnaim tchila, one of which was known to everybody, and that there was a grave there, it was a known grave, and two that were discovered for the first time. And when it comes to the grave that was known, we didn't know if it was temporary or not, because if it wasn't temporary, then if it was just a RI, so then obviously you're allowed to move it. But if it was a permanent one, then you're not allowed to. So that's the suffix. So, echad tchila ushnaim midum, or similarly the other way around, one had not been known, and now two had been known. Yeshlem, that's a shayla, it's a big daf gemina. Elam tfusa is one halacha of elam shchunas kvaros, or yeshlem tfusa of elam shchunas kvaros. So it would make a lot of sense to assume elam tfusa of elam shchunas kvaros. However, there are those that have the gears of the Rush and others that yeshlem tfusa. They do have the halacha of the ground underneath them needing to be buried with them. However, because they were probably temporary, the way they were buried, we can assume that they are temporary and you're allowed to move them. That's why you don't have shchunas bikavar. So the Rush explains why there would be a chiluk in this din. So ma'aser b'Rabbi Yishvav. So now the Gemara continues that there was a ma'aser with Rabbi Yishvav. Shebadak matzah shnayim medun ve'achat chila. He checked. He once checked and he found that there was three graves, two that had been known and one that was not known and it was discovered. Ubikes also shchunas bikavar. He wanted to make it. He thought that he should be paskening that it's a halachas of a cemetery shchunas kvaros. And then, so therefore Amar Rabbi Akiva responded to him. No, kol shegata l'rikya gata. What are you working so hard for nothing? Lo amru shchunas kvaros, elo l'gimel yidu an al shoshet chila. They only said this halacha of making it an area of a shchunas kvaros, of the cemetery area, where there are three known graves, or three graves that were discovered for the first time. But this was not that, and therefore there would not be in the category something you have to be machmir for. So then the Gemara focuses on the Lashon of the Mishnah, not lan ves tfusasan, you remove them along with their ground below them. So the Gemara says, heichi dami tfusa. Where do we see the lacha of tfusa? Usually, it shouldn't be like heichi dami, but whatever. It has to be removed the body. So the Gemara should have just asked me, not immediately. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar, usually say, I don't know that for that. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar kara unisasi mitzrayim. Pasuk says, by Yaakov Avinu, when he was begging Yosef to beg that he should be buried in Eretz Yisrael, so he says, you should take me out of Mitzrayim. And so the lashon of it should carry me out unasasani mim Mitzrayim, it should carry me out of Egypt. And so the lashon of out of Egypt sounds lechora that it's extra. Why Egypt? Obviously, you're bringing him to Eretz Yisrael, you're leaving Egypt. So the Gemara is a drasha now. Tol imi, meaning take some of Mitzrayim with me. Take the ground below me along with me. And I don't know if we could like a deeper year, so like tol imi, like take some of the Mitzrayim, the Bechinas Mitzrayim, take it out. We know that again in the Chassidish Torah over here, that they know that Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Chassidish Torah bring down, is Yetziah min ha-Mitzrayim, leaving your boundaries. Everybody has things that hold them back from their Yiddishkeit, from their Avodas Hashem, right? So many things that hold us back. So when it comes to the Yetzias Mitzrayim, so Yaakov is saying, take that. I'm going to leave my Mitzrayim, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. We all have our leaving of Mitzrayim every year. Like Kilu Yatsa Mitzrayim, besides for the obviously Pashup that we actually view it as we're leaving Egypt, but also every single person is leaving their own Mitzrayim, they're leaving their boundary. Yaakov, you know, maybe his Merumah is Merames to this. So the Yechrona point out that this is a problem in Pshat though, because Yaakov was never buried in Mitzrayim. So what does that mean that there was Tfusa of Mitzrayim? What was going on over here? So they explain that when Yaakov asked this of Yosef, he didn't know. He was assuming the worst. He thought maybe that he was going to be temporarily buried in Egypt. So if he was going to be temporarily buried in Egypt, he was covering that ground, basically. Saying, no pun intended, he was covering all bases, that if I'm buried in Mitzrayim, then I want you to take me. And obviously take me means take part of the ground with me. That's the halacha of Tfusa. So now the Gemara continues, Kama shir Tfusa, how big is the shir of Tfusa that has to be removed? Perosh Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar told us, or something like Rabbi Tzadok, notel afar tichuach, he takes the ground that's still soft, the chofer b'fsula gimel tzbos, and digs this soil 3 fingers deep. So the Yerushalmi explains that this is the depth to which that apparently the decay of the body goes into the ground. That's how that was the metzias that the Gemara was assuming. So the Gemara has a kasha meisi v'dava kamashir tfusa. We have a different upshot over here. So the Gemara says kamashir tfusa that the perish Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Tzadok. Here's Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Tzadok, and he says differently. Note to kismin, you have to take the little wood chips, the esaksosos, and the little the globs of the dirt, vizorikas of vadoin, and that which is certainly not from the body and not be matame, that you could throw away. That doesn't have to be with it. Maniachas asfekos, you could leave the questionable things also with the dead body. So then, however, the remainder that's going to count towards what the majority of the person's body was in terms of being matame tumas mace, or the majority of his skeleton, that's going to be matame. So that is going to be matame here. La rova atzamos and the rova atzamos, which is matame. But oh well, lemelal tarvid rekev, and also the amount that we said is like when it starts to decompose, that amount is going to be that shear. So we see over here, we make note, there's no mention of the shear of shalosh atzbos over here, and the lechora is disagreeing with Rabbi Elazar. So the Gemara says, it's machlokas tanaim, hu damar kei tana, the Amora, Rabbi Elazar, he holds like the other tana. Desanya v'kama shir tfusa, how much is the shear of the ground below? It's actually probably clear that it wasn't Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Tzadok, because Rabbi Elazar, the Amora, which is why it's b'chal, is akasha. So Gemara says, kama shir tfusa, how much is the ground below? I'm Rabbi Yochanan Mishim ben Azai, notel afar tichuach. He takes the soft dirt below him, v'chofer b'sula shalosh atzbos, takes it three fingers deep. So we see that is machlokas tanaim. So the Gemara continues, Bode Kemino, that he has to check from there and further. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Badak Upanah, he checked the field and found the body and he removed it. That's the Lach of the Mishnah. So then Badak Upanah, and also checked the field again, and he saw a second body there. So another, right? So then Badak Ve'eshkach, and then he checked again and found a third body. So here, the third grave, within this distance, Lach Ora, should make it that this area is a cemetery area. So the Gemara says, Lohai mefane le gabe hanach trei, that the third one is not mitzarif to the is not transferred to the first two were moved. He's not moved to where the first two were moved. But lohane trei le gabe haichad, and neither are the two bodies already transferred be returned to the original one where this one was. Meaning, no bodies from the cemetery are allowed to be removed. When the first two were discovered, it wasn't known yet that this was a cemetery. Therefore, they don't have to be removed, and you did al pi halacha. However, the third one, you're not allowed to be removed, because now we see that the halacha is that it's from now going right there, it is a cemetery. Ikad amri amar rava, kevan shenitna reshus lefanos, once you are given permission to remove the first body, this is differently, and you're allowed to remove all of them. This is machlokas in the versions of rava. To which the Gemara has a kasha, why isn't this a cemetery now? What's going on over here? Why isn't this third grave, the finding of the third grave, making it into a lock of a cemetery, which you're not allowed to remove it? It's permanent. They had a pretext to want to purify Eretz Yisrael. So, meaning, really, the Abida Halacha, moving the dead body, applies to one grave found in that is known to have been permanent. That's the Halacha. So, this halacha is telling us though that when you have three, that area making the whole area a cemetery is due to the chazaka that would be lechora that there's a bunch of graves there and it's probably a permanent burial site. That is only a chazaka. It's not for sure. When a chazaka, there's a famous Shimon about this, quoting Mendayek from Rishonim, from the Mordechai, that there's a difference between a rove and a chazaka. It's really fairs earlier, but the Rishonim made it famous that a rov is mevara the inyan. When I have a rov, if I have two pieces of kosher meat and one three meatballs that got mixed up, two kosher and one trace. So the halacha is you're allowed to eat all three pashtas, maybe not all at once. That's a shayla, but allowed to eat all three. Definitely allowed to eat. So the halacha is because that's the rov. So if someone gives me one of those pieces of meat, can I swear on that? So says the Mordechai, yes, you're allowed to swear that this piece of meat is kosher. I'm allowed to swear that this piece of meat is kosher. However, if I have a chazaka on a certain piece of meat that I, for whatever chazaka's kashrus it has, that makes it that it was assumed to be kosher, can I swear that that piece of meat is kosher? So says Reb Shimon, no, that it's just a anhaga. So here, why I'm breaking that up, that this is also only a chazaka that this area was a cemetery. So therefore, Rava is restricting this halacha of the cemetery only to a case in which you found all three before they were removed. But when the first two had already been removed, then even though there might be a chazaka that it's hamshech, we already have this heter on the books, so you're allowed to move it, because we want to make as little area as possible to be tameh. We want Eretz Yisrael to be as tohar as much as possible in order that kohanim and people who want to remain tohar to eat taharos and other such things. We want to remain in a tohar position. So therefore, we do not extend this halacha to this din because it's only a chazaka. Now, if it was a rov, like we're saying, then lechora, you would not be allowed to rely on this because the rov creates a real metzius. In Alpidin, you can, that is what we view as the metzius. Fine, says the Gemara Vayter, Badak me'eshim amav lamatzamai. So if you looked for 20 amos, if you didn't find anything, what's the halacha? So Zak the Gemara Amrav Menashe bar Yemi Amrav Shchunas Kvaros. It's an area of, we can assume that is a grave area in which you have to be machmir. My time, Amar Shlakish Ilam Matzah Teres Yisrael. So some of this gives you some don't, because Lachora, this Rush says that this line is not from the Gemara. Rish Lakish's argument is different from this. It would be a chumrah if you assume that it's a shchunas kvaras, not a heter. You're making more air. You're making more of it tummy. So how can you? Why is this going to be Ilam Matzah Teres Yisrael? So I'm not exactly. That's the Rush is not exactly sure why that should be. So he takes out the gears. Okay, if we to justify it, if we have it, but that's the way we have it in our Gemara. Now the Gemara continues with the halacha of Safek Negayim. When it comes to, we were talking about something which is Rav Lahan, the Davar, so now we're talking about a little something which is a Safek about Tumah. So now the Mishnah tells us, Kol Safek Negayim. If you have a Safek with regards to a Nega, which is Tzara'as or not, this person has a Nega, then all of Tazria Matzorah, really Tazria, is all talking about the different type of Negayim and how you can become Tumah. But Tchila, so if it was before the person was already a Matzorah Mukhlat, it was before he was established to be Matzorah, the halacha is tahar ad shalonis kakek latuma. Until you've been confirmed as being a tame person, the halacha is you're not going to be tame. Misafik, if it's a case of doubt. Now, what exactly is this case over here? So the Mishnah Negayim tells us about it. In Perek Hey, halacha dalad, so the Rishonim quote this over here on the daf, that you have two people that each one is not sure if they have tara'as. So they go to the kohen, and the kohen says that he found one of them has a thing that's the size of a gris. The other one has even something that's bigger, the size of a sela. It's because they have no other, there's no other simani tuma. So therefore, the halacha is that they have to be hesker for a week, right? They have hesker for Shavua, and that's the Torah tells you for 1 week. So following that, they're being in bidud, lashon badad. By the way, bidud comes from there. Badad yesh. So he goes in bidud for a week. PTSD from that lashon. Anyway, so that they're following that time where they're put away in England, right? Quarantining for a week. So that also probably puts people in, I guess, scary lashon. So following their quarantine, so then or their bidud, so that both people have the size of a sela with no other simane tuma. So now that which was a gris, that's called a pision, a spreading of the tzara'as, that creates tuma. So if that, and the guy who had a bigger shear would not be having, the guy who had a gris had spread, and the guy who had a sela had not actually gone down. So, but we don't know who was who. He didn't remember which one was a sela, which one wasn't. And so then the sheet over there, quoted by the Tanakam, I think, or the Chacham, I remember, he says that, since it's a suffix, we can assume that that both are going to be tahor, even though we know one of them wasn't. But still, that's suffing the gun. We don't know which one is which. You could be tahor ad shelo niskak l'tumah. However, says the Mishnah niskak l'tumah, once they've been confirmed as tameh, the both of them. So sveika tameh. If you have a suffix, then it would be tameh. So then, if you have two people come to a coin, one of them had the size of a grease and the other one with the one of a sela. So after the week of the hesker, both of the ones were larger than a sela. So then each one has tzara'as. So both of them are then later goes down in size and they become the size of a sela. So the one that originally was a sela, he's going to be tahor. And the other one that wasn't, he's not. He's going to be tameh still. So, but we don't know who is who. So then the halacha of safek tuma by negayim is going to be machmir. That's the halacha over here. So the Gemara asks, Minanimile, where do we know that we should be makel on safek with regards to tzara'as over here? So I was actually thinking, we've quoted this a few times because we bring riots throughout Shas. There's a famous shaila, the halacha of safek daraisa l'chumra. A person's not sure, coming up in Yonah Dil Matzah, he's not sure if he had a kazayis of matzah or not. So the halacha is safek daraisa l'chumra. Everyone knows this, that the halacha is l'chumra. You have to be machmer and eat the kazayis of matzah again. I'm making a bracha, you don't, but you have to, the rabbi, I think, tell hell that you did, but we pass it at the Rambam that says that you don't have to make a bracha, but you have to go back and do the mitzvah again. So is that halacha a din daraisa or a din darabanan? Is that halacha a din daraisa or a din darabanan? So that's a machlokas. I think it's the Rambam and the Rashba. Shish Maitza has this, I think, in one of his first pieces. Discusses this shaila. So here, I thought this is a nice raya from the Gemara. I'm curious if anyone points this out. The Gemara is asking, how do I know to be makil on a safek nagayim? What do you mean, how do I know? If the whole din is a din derabanan, the efti machmer, safek deraisa lechumra, tells you is only a din derabanan, the rabbanan are making you go back and do eat the matzah again, but midaraisa you don't have to. So then why would the Gemara be wondering why I have the right to be makil with regards to Nagayim, if that's the rule of midaraisa across the board? If across the board, the lacha on the level of daraisa is that I'm makil, so why is the Gemara looking for a pasuk to try to figure out why we're makil with regards to a suffix Nagayim? So I thought maybe this could be right, I'm not sure. But so the Gemara says, we're not in Milay, the Raya is Mikan Lakan. I'm Rabbi Rav, I'm Krow. We're actually going to have a few more of the Raya of suffix daraisa lechomer with regards to Verino Gea Sota coming up in a few days already, 2 days. So the Gemara, I'm Rabbi Rav, I'm Krow, Letaro Letam. Well, the pasuk says that he should be Tahor or he should be Tameh. Since the pasuk opens up with Tara first, we can learn that we give precedence to being Tahor, and in the case of Safek, we can be Mekel. So we're asked, what difference should it be? That even if the person becomes a confirmed Tameh one, so then the lacha should be that he should also be, should be Tahor because Safek Nagayim Lekula. And we don't see that. So therefore, it says the Gemara, Ella ki itmar dav Yuda marav aha itmar. Rather, it was taught about this Mishnah. Im beharis kedma lesar levan. If you have the beharis, which is the white spot, if they have the very white spot, right? There's four different shtayim shenarba by Nagayim. You have kisida hechal kakrum peitza. Forget the other two. Anyway, each one has a told of those two. Tommy. Anyway, so those four levels of those shades of white. So there, if the beharis came first, the lacha is he's Tommy. The person is Tommy. And that's because it's Simon Tuma coming after him. Sar Lavan Kodim Lebaharis, however, the white hair was before the Baharis, the Lacha is Tahar. What about if he's Safik? So then the Lacha is Tameh. Rabbi Yeshua Amar no Keha. The Lacha translates like it's faint. What does it mean it's faint? My Keha, what does it mean it's faint? Is it Tahar or not Tahar? Amar Yehuda Keha Vitar. No, it's Keha, meaning that it's faint and therefore it's Tahar. It has nothing to do, it's a Lashon that he's using Keha, that it's a Lashon from the Pasuk and it means that he's Tahar. The Dilma Keha Vitame, what do you mean? Maybe it means Keha and he's Tameh. Well, how do you assume that he's not being Tameh? So the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Amar Kra Latara Olatama." This is the drasha, and when it comes to this, we're not sure So then we have the right to be Mekel, and you have the right to be Mekel in this case. Fine. Now, once you're talking about Raglayim L'davar, so the Mishnah is continuing with the halachas of Zavim, like Mini Shasav. We're going through a lot of Taras. So now we're up to Zavim, which regards to a person who is a Mesech Zavim in the Mishnayos. It talks about Tumah of Ziva, right? If a Tumah of Ziva person has this type of substance that's leaving his body, a type of discharge, so then he is coming out of his private part, right? Then he's a Zav, if he has it two times. So if you have one, you're just you're for only time for one day. Two, you're ready. You need Shiva Nikim. So yeah, if you have two different flows and two different days also, to part of two different days, then you have to have you can't even go to a mikvah, regular mikvah. You have to go to a mayim chayim, you have to go to spring. And if he has three, then he's also chayv and korban. That's enough between two and three. So for these to be considered both days of zav, they can't be separated by the full day. If you have a day of 24 hours where you didn't have one, so let's say Monday you saw one, Tuesday you had off, and then Wednesday you saw, that's not a zav yet. So you need to have 2 days on two consecutive days. So this is something which is the halacha of a zav. So now the Rabbana learn that if the second thing coming out of the second flow coming out of him was from something other than the fact that it was from the zavus, this condition of his zavus, then he's not going to be coming. And what are those? The following. Says the Mishnah. B'shiva d'rachim bodkin zav. There's seven ways which we can examine the zav and see if he's tahor or not. Achinizkak l'gziva. Only once he has not been a confirmed zav yet. Meaning, he doesn't have two sets of, two times of seeing re'iyah of a discharge. If he sees two re'iyahs already, then already we assume that we can't be using this tliyos and he would be chayav at nafkamina. The third day if he sees, he'd be chayav a korban. What are the seven things? Michael Mishnah. If he drinks certain foods, apparently, certain fatty foods, meat, milk, whatever, certain things like that, the Rush explains, create zavus. And maisa, masa, kvitza, v'cholui, carrying something, jumping up and down, being sick, all these things can lead to his seeing this flow and this discharge. If he saw something weird, or if he thought about inappropriate things, that would also lead him to have this zavus, mishinizgak, ziva. However, once he's been confirmed tame from ziva, and bodkino, so we don't have this shiva drachim. Seems to be repetitive, though. We already just said it before. Anyway, onso sveiko shechva zarot meim. If he has onus at that point, meaning that even if it's due to some sort of onus, or he was suffering about it, or if it's even zera, if he has his seed comes out, and they're all tamesh or glaim adavar, since we can assume that the person already been confirmed as zav, it seems to see that these external factors are not causing the flow, rather the flow was due to his zavus, and therefore he is going to be continued to be tameh. And therefore, let's say he's counting shiva nikiyim, just like a woman needs shiva nikiyim, a zava. We're machbir, meaning it was not as midda raisa. I've said this a few times also. Midda raisa, a woman who sees blood on day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, even day 7, and then day 7 she stops seeing in the morning, let's say, and she doesn't have sektara, she's tahor that night. Only a zava who is seeing outside of a regular flow, she has to be have shiva nikim. So we're machbir, that's a famous takana of, shayla takana, exactly how the nature of this works, but of Rabbi Zeira, Benos Yisrael Achmiro Alatzman, that we're machmir to assume that everybody is still a zava and we require shiva nikim. Fine. So anyway, so the halacha is that a zav also requires shiva nikim. So if he has this thing that comes with shechva zera on day 4, let's say, no, we can't be told that it was a shechva zera, rather, and it just wouldn't count. You would be able to count 1, 2, 3, not count that day. Everyone agrees it's soser, but then can you count 5, 6, 7 after that? If a woman sees blood in her period of the 7 days. So then, if she sees a spot or anything, she's to count all 7 all over again. So too, when it comes to Yunishiva Nikim, so too, in regards to Azab. And we can't be tole on the Zara that came out of him. Because we have Raglaim Adavar, that it's probably coming from Aziva. Hamakes Chavero, and similar halacha about Raglaim Adavar, somebody who hits his friend, and they all do the mis, and they warned him, they said, you take that baseball bat and knock him in the head, he's gonna die from that. And he ignored the warning, and then he did it, and they thought the guy was gonna take a die, the guy who he hit. And then the doctors say, wow, it's a miracle. People have been davening for him, and he's getting better. Reuben is Shimon, everyone's davening for Shimon. Kol Kore, they davened for him, and then he got better. All of a sudden, Olachar Mikana, a few days later, he went back to being in critical condition. Hechbid Umes. After that, it got worse, and he died. Chayev, so the lacha is that the guy who attacked him is going to be Chayev Misa. Rechemio says that he is Pater, Shiraglaim Adavar, because there's Raglaim Adavar to assume that the person's condition getting better was that it means that the death wasn't really from him originally. Rather, it like was a new thing, new type of sickness that caused him to die. Which is difficult to understand, but that's what Menachem wants to tie us. It says the Gemara now, Minani Mile. Where do I know this halacha that the third one of Ziva, the person, we can't use the seven drachim to be mekel. Amar Rabbi Nosson, Amar Krav, Zav et Zovo. The pasuk says that someone has a Zav or as Zav et Zovo. Someone who has a Zav et Zovo, the Zachar l'nekeva. L'ri'iyah shlish is eitzkets l'nekeva. For the third flow, a man is compared to a woman. So the halach is that when it comes to a man, and when it comes to a third flow, that's to a woman's Zav. And therefore, it doesn't matter that it was done even by onus. If a woman sees, it doesn't matter how she sees. There's no drachim to see whether she has blood or not. She has blood outside of the time of her period. She's automatically a zava. But the Gemara asks, Vatanya, is that really true? Rabbi Elazar says, Bishlish is boskin oso. The third one we do check in, Bervius ain't boskin oso, but the fourth one we do not. Why does Rabbi Elazar not agree with the drusha? So the Gemara says, Ella be'esim kemiflagi. There's arguing over the significance of the word es. Rabbi Elazar darish esim. Rabbi Elazar does darish the word es when it had the extra lashon, right? Zav es zovo. Rabbanan lo darish es, and they're not darish es zovo over here. They're not darish it. So I was wondering, like, what about the famous thing about and Rabbi Kiva came to his es hashem lekel chatira, but was darish kol esim shebetorah. So does that mean they disagreed with all just over here? They thought it wasn't enough. So I didn't see that. I'm not sure exactly. I didn't see if they would disagree in Kol Shas or just over here. I was just wondering there. Okay, Baruch Hashem, we'll pick up the Hamsheikh of Onso Sveiko. We have a very short taf. It's really one Amud, and then a very short Amud and Amud Beis. And Baruch Hashem, Siyat HaShemayel, we'll be finishing Maseches Nazir tomorrow. Birta Hashem.